This impromptu, hosted by Carrie Frumkin on 98.7 WFMT, is supported in part by a grant from the Elizabeth F. Cheney Foundation, a Chicago-based philanthropy dedicated to arts and culture, and by generous contributions from members of WFMT's Fine Arts Circle. If you enjoy this live performance, please consider joining the Fine Arts Circle yourself. You can become a member at WFMT right now by pledging online at WFMT.com. And now we go to our live performance studio for an impromptu hosted by Carrie Frumkin.
Thank you, Suzanne. On this impromptu this afternoon, we're very pleased to welcome Eric Owens and pianist William Billingham for a program featuring music by Dvorak, Gershwin, Wagner, and Mozart. Mr. Owens is in the cast for Lyric Opera's first ever production of Dvorak's opera, Rusalka. And opening night is this Saturday night. He'll be playing the part of the water goblin, who essentially tries to convince the water nymph, Rusalka, not to become human in order to be with a handsome prince. But having failed to stop her, he laments what she is doing in the music we're now going to hear. And so I give it to Eric Owens and William Billingham.
Drushkam zim, budeshin shivli.
That was Vodnik's aria from Rusalka, the opera by Dvorak. You heard Eric Owens with pianist William Billingham. They are our guests this afternoon here at WFMT. Welcome, Eric. It's great to have you with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
This role is, I guess, a new one for you.
It is indeed.
And it's really kind of exciting, I guess, at this stage in your career to be doing a role like this in an opera which is relatively unfamiliar, I think, to most folks.
I think it's the Chicago premiere.
It is. It's the first time that Lyric has ever done this. Wow. And I guess it's a quite wonderful production. And your role in this is basically the father figure who stands back and says, nah, maybe you shouldn't do this.
Maybe it's not such a good idea. These humans, they're filled with sin and corruption, and but Rusalka says yes, but they're filled with love and they get to go to heaven after they die. She wants a human soul. She keeps saying this,
right.
Dushi, a human soul, and he's struck by it and hurt by it, but nonetheless, he tells her where to go to get it.
Yeah.
Which seems a little odd. He tells her he has to go see the old witch Yeji Baba.
Well, and it seems like this is a case of a father who
letting her
is
make
trying
her own
his
choice.
Best, but making her yeah,
make her own choice. Her yeah, choice. Absolutely.
Is that what you try to bring the role, that sort of compassion, that kind of mixed feeling?
There's a mix
feeling.
Of hurt, anger, compassion after the fact.
Yeah.
You know, hoping maybe she would go visit Yeji Baba and hear at what cost this transformation comes and change her mind, maybe.
Yeah.
But she's determined, and so the father kind of shows up afterwards to just kind of maybe be there because there's nothing he could do. She sealed her fate if he doesn't, if the prince falls in love with her but then strays.
Yeah.
She is destined to live in this limbo world where she won't be really human, and she won't be able to come back home and be the water nymph.
And of course, this is a case of father knows best once again, because that's what happens.
You know, and sometimes I try to not make it be an "I told you so" every time he comes back, but it can't be taken that way.
Right. Well, what are the biggest challenges of this role? I know the language must
be. Yeah, the Czech is probably the biggest challenge. Okay. This is the first time I'm singing a piece in Czech, and it's one of the languages with the study of voice that you don't encounter at university. We sort of focus on German, Italian, and French. And Russian, but this was quite new, but we've had a lot of wonderful help, and I think it's going well.
Good. Now you're a favorite here at Lyric, quite clearly, and
Lyric's a favorite of mine.
You're coming back next season to do Porgy and Bess.
Indeed.
And there's a wonderful role to really dig into, of course. And I was reading about it, you know, before we did this interview, mm-hmm. and saw that the man that created the role way back in, I guess it was the 1930s, Tad Duncan, mm-hmm. He was recalling the first instance when Gershwin introduced the music to him. And Gershwin, I guess, was singing it to him.
Okay.
And just before he sang what you're about to sing, as a matter of fact, he said to him, "This is going to make you famous." And I wanted to ask you what it is that makes this aria, you know, or song, if you want to call it either way, that incredible moment that, in fact, no one can forget once they hear it.
Well, I mean, it's a great tune, first and
That's
foremost.
True.
But it's this wonderful sentiment about life that the best things in life are free. And with less accumulation of material things comes more happiness, ultimately.
Right.
He's got plenty of nothing. Yeah. He's got the sun and the moon and the stars, and he's happy about that. But what's made him feel this, because he's had all those things before, is that he's found the love of a woman.
Right.
And this is quite the unlikely pairing, but I'm sure he's willing to see all past, Beth's past,
right.
And he's having something that's a feeling inside of him that's new. It's like there's a line I think in the Shakespeare movie, Gwyneth Paltrow and
Shakespeare in Love.
Shakespeare in Love, where after a night of passion, her maid comes in and said, "Wake up, girl, it's a new day." And she says, "It's a new world."
That's right.
And it's a new world for him.
Right.
And so I think that sentiment, along with the wonderful music, that's the tune that is quite memorable.
All right. Can we hear it?
Absolutely.
All right. Eric Owens, William Billingham, and I Got Plenty of Nothing from Porgy and Bess by George Gershwin.
Plenty of nothing, and nothing's plenty for me. I got no cart, got no mule, I got no misery. The folks with plenty of plenty got a lock on a door. Afraid somebody's going to rob, and what is out there making more? What for? I got no lock on the door, that's no way to be. They can steal a rug from the floor. That's okay with me, cause the things that I prize, like the stars in the sky, are free. Oh, I got plenty of nothing, and nothing's plenty for me. I got my gal, got my song, got heaven the whole day long. No use complaining. Got my gal, got my Lord, got my song. I got plenty of nothing, and nothing's plenty for me. I got the sun, I got the moon, got the deep blue sea. The folks with plenty of plenty gotta pray all the day. Seems with plenty, you sure got to worry how to keep the devil away. Away. I ain't fretting about hell till the time arrive. Never worry long as I'm well. Never one to strive to be good, to be bad. What the hell, I as glad as alive. Oh, I got plenty of nothing, and nothing's plenty for me. I got my gal, got my song, got heaven the whole day long. No use complaining. Got my gal, got my Lord, got my song.
From Porgy and Bess of George Gershwin, I Got Plenty of Nothing, sung by Eric Owens with pianist William Billingham. Our guests this afternoon, live here at WFMT. We're going to hear some Wagner in a moment, but I wanted to go back to your early years, sort of introduce folks to you in a more general way, and how it was that you got started. I know you were always musical from early on. You played piano and you played oboe. Mm-hmm. And at some point, though, you decided, I'm going to sing.
Yeah, I think that happened when I was in high school. I sang in my high school choir in Philadelphia. And there was this wonderful choir director named Italo Taranta. Mm-hmm. And I sang in the choir, and I actually took theory from in high school from Italo, and he taught a humanities class. And he would give me some solos every once in a while, and he said, you know, Eric, you might think about taking some voice lessons, and because I hear something that might be worth pursuing. And so I started taking voice lessons as when I was a senior in high school. But up until that point, I had been a fan of opera since about the age of 8 or 9. Mm-hmm. With no designs on being an opera singer, but I just loved it, and you know, I started taking lessons, and one thing led to another, and here I am.
Well, we're glad you are.
Well, thank you.
And one of the things you're going to be doing for Lyric, in addition to Porgy and Bess, and this is farther into the future a bit, mm-hmm. you're going to be part of their Ring Cycle.
Yes.
And you're going to portray Votan.
Indeed.
And again, this is a first for you,
this
right?
This will be a first, indeed.
And how are you digging into that?
There's quite a bit to dig into.
Yeah.
You know, luckily, I have been a part of the Ring before with Alberich, and I've spent time on stage with a few Votans and been around that energy and around that dynamic. But it's quite an undertaking to pursue it yourself and to do the role for the first time. There's so much about it when you do your research that is not rooted in something that's definite. There are a lot of opinions out there about for instance, you know, I was talking to one of the wonderful assistant conductors at the Lyric the other day. I was talking to Susan, and we were talking about which eye the eye patch belongs on, and I was kind of joking, and she said, well, there's a controversy about which eye.
Really?
And the way when he talks about it, he uses the dative instead of the accusative, and there's room, wiggle room for, is he talking about one eye his one eye that he has left, and you know, or is he talking about both of his eyes, or and so when you just think about something as simple as that, where people just, you know, he's got a patch over his eye, and so the rest, it puts that into the place of how deep and involved an undertaking it is, and especially with the history of the role and the diehard Wagner fans who anytime there's a new Ring production somewhere, they come from around the world to see it. So it's a tall order, and but I think the key is to have respect for what has come before and to learn about tradition and what have you, but then finding a way to make it your own.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll see how that all comes together.
I'm sure it will. Speaking of tall orders, though, you're going to sing for us Votan's Farewell.
Yes.
Now, from Die Walküre, and literally the end of the opera is entirely on you. It's on your shoulders.
Yes.
And you're going to make this or break this production.
Yeah,
and
this is taking place at probably at 11:45 p.m.
Right.
After having gotten there at like 6:30 or 7.
Yeah, right. Well, tell us about, you know, doing that.
Oh, goodness. That's kind of the moment for this role.
Yep.
I mean, there are many other moments that might even be more difficult or demanding, but this is the one that people know and arguably, Walküre is the most popular of the four.
Yeah.
And this tender father-daughter moment where he is having to kiss her out of his existence.
Right.
And make her immortal. And it's it's quite a poignant part of his arc, because, you know, he spends a lot of time just being a cat.
Right.
And but this relationship that he has with his daughter is something really special, and you know, that he says, and she is his will. Mm-hmm. She knows what he wants, I guess, before he does, and she understands him in a way that all of his many other children by many different mothers know understand him.
Yeah.
And but the fact that he has to punish her for her doing something he told her not to do, but it was something that he indeed wanted.
Right.
But he had to uphold the vow to protect these, well, not one of his runes, but his wife is the goddess of marriage.
Right.
And then his two of his children have engaged in a twofold sin.
Yeah.
Of, number one, adultery, which his wife Fricka has a problem with. You know, never mind that she has a problem with that these aren't her children, but it's her husband's,
yes,
children.
Right.
But also their twin brother and sister. And so that there's that thing going on. And he initially told Brunhilde to protect him in the battle that's going to follow the next day between Hunding, Sieglinde's bride, his sister that he's fallen in love with,
right,
in about a half an hour, and Siegmund. And he originally wants Brunhilde to go and protect Siegmund, but after the big talk with Fricka, he wants her to not do that and make sure that Hunding is the victor. And she doesn't do that. She disobeys him.
Right.
And so he has to punish her on account of his own sin of having these two children in the first place. So there's this really, there's a lot going, it's
right,
quite layered.
And all very human.
All very human.
Considering that these are gods we're talking,
yeah,
about.
We're, you know, my whole thing with the ring is that you're supposed to be all powerful, and, you know, it's like, well, you,
yeah,
know, I make a joke when I'm tied up in Rheingold as Alberich, and I, you know, it's like I tell the ring to bring the Nibelungs, to tell them to bring the gold. It's like, well, why don't you tell the ring to get these ropes off of you, too? You know, I was just like, anyway, suspension of disbelief.
So, I mean, do you think a lot about bringing all of these mixed emotions and layers of meaning into that last moment?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, as I'm going to do it here, it's hard because I don't have Brunhilde, and so the whatever the director comes up with, and Christine Gerke, and so I'm going to be reacting to what's going on in real time.
Yeah.
On any particular night, it might even shift a little bit and change depending on what's going on around me. And
right,
so you have to be responsive and not kind of locked in. Okay, well, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it's about you listening and reacting and presenting something on the spot,
right,
after all the due diligence, and,
yeah,
et cetera. So,
well, are you ready for this?
Well, we'll find out.
Okay, Wotan's Farewell from Wagner's Die Walküre. Eric Owens with pianist William Billingham.
Sich dich nicht.
des Feuers sollt in uns brennen, wie nie einer Brat es gebrannt. Flammende Glut umglühen den Fels, mit zwirrenden Schrecken scheuch ich den Tagen, der feige Flehe bringt in des Fels. Es lust ein Kuss die Lunde, wenn kindisch lallend der Heldenlob von holden Lippen dir floss. Dieser Augen strahlendes sein Stern, den unseligen Ewgen muss es scheidend sich schließen.
Wotan's Farewell from Wagner's Die Walküre, sung this afternoon by Eric Owens with pianist William Billingham. What's remarkable for me is, I mean, I see it all as you're doing it right here in the studio.
Oh, wow, good.
And you know, I wonder if, I mean, is that a great challenge to do it that way? I mean, I know you like doing recitals and concertizing with
it's
orchestra.
It's more challenging to do it that way. I recitals are the most difficult thing.
Well, there you've got to evoke everything.
I do, yeah. Without chewing up the scenery.
Right.
And you have to paint these pictures with the colors of the voice and with somewhat of a limited physical release, which, oddly enough, ends up being more exhausting than if you were running all over the place.
Right.
Just the emotion that you have to let out just through the text and the music.
Right.
And with not overtly, you know, physical, it fills you up in a way that somehow afterwards you need to release it some way, and you end up staying up till like 5 a.m.
Oh, no doubt. Now you're doing actually a recital with Susanna Phillips and
the
members of the CSO.
Indeed.
When is that coming up?
That's coming up. Is that in May or April or May?
I'm not sure.
May.
Could be May.
And it's all Schubert. So looking forward to
that.
Oh,
that'd be great.
Yeah, indeed.
Great. Well, to conclude this afternoon, you actually have chosen another Father's Farewell.
Oh, yes.
And this is Mozart, one of the concert arias. Mozart was often asked to write what were called insertion arias for other people's operas when a new production was staged in Vienna or somewhere. And this is one of those. This actually was put into a Paisiello opera. And it's Mentre ti lascio. You want to tell us about that before we hear it?
Yes, it's sort of, I don't want to say generic because there's nothing about Mozart that's generic, especially in this key. But it's a father leaving his daughter, and he's saying, as I leave you, my heart trembles within my breast, and he's like, oh, what a bitter parting. And so it's one of those emotion arias that you don't hear specific names, so it can be dropped into another opera at will. Most of the opera seria operas, when you think of the arias, no one's name is ever mentioned in the body of the aria. So it's sort of, that all happens either in an accompanied recit or the dry recits where the drama. And so there have been occasions where you do a little shuffle where an existing aria or whatever. But this is a piece that has just been near and dear to my heart for a long time, since I was a teenager, and my desire to seek out the unusual and the, because I mean you don't hear about this piece done all that much, and these concert arias that Mozart's written for various voices, they're amazing pieces, and I don't get to sing as much Mozart as I would like to sing, And so I just thought, you know, well, what the hell, I'll just...
Well, we're glad to give you the opportunity.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, let's hear Mozart's Mentre ti lascio, the concert aria, with Eric Owens and William Billingham.
Un sol momento
ventre ti lascio, figlia. In sé mi trema il core, ai che partenza amara, ai che partenza amara, figlia, ti lascio. Oddio, che fier tormento, oddio, che fier tormento, che fier tormento. Ti chiedo un sol momento, un sol momento. Figlia, ti lascio, ai che partenza amara, oddio che fier tormento. A me si spezza il cor, a me si spezza il cor. Parto, addio. Partenza amara, ai che partenza amara, oddio che fier tormento, oddio che fier tormento, che fier tormento. Figlia, io parto, ti lascio, addio, ai che partenza amara, oddio che fier tormento. A me si spezza il cor, a me si spezza il cor, a me si spezza il cor, si spezza il cor, a mi si spezza il cor, a mi si spezza il cor, mi si spezza il cor, a mi si spezza il cor, mi si spezza il cor, a mi si spezza il cor, a mi si spezza il cor, a mi si spezza il cor, mi si spezza il cor, mi si spezza il cor.
Mozart's concert aria Mentre ti lascio, K513, sung for us this afternoon by Eric Owens with pianist William Billingham. Eric Owens is in the cast of Lyric Opera's very first undertaking of Dvorak's opera Rusalka, and opening night is this Saturday night. If you'd like tickets, the place to go is lyricopera.org, or you can call 312-827-5600. It's a wonderful cast and a wonderful production, not to be missed. Our thanks to these fine musicians for being with us this afternoon. Also, thanks to music producer Chris Willis and to Don Mueller, and also to the producer of Impromptu, Louise Frank. Back to Suzanne. I guess you enjoyed that, Suzanne. I was watching you.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Air conducting and everything. I do feel like I need to drop my voice a little bit now after listening to Eric for so long.
Right.
Thank you so much, Carrie. Thank you to Eric and the wonderful musicians who joined us for this live impromptu. It is supported here on 98.7 WFMT in part by a grant from the Elizabeth F. Cheney Foundation, a Chicago-based philanthropy dedicated to arts and culture, and by generous contributions from members of WFMT's Fine Arts Circle. If you enjoyed this live performance, please do consider joining the Fine Arts Circle yourself. You can become a WFMT member right now by pledging online at WFMT.com.